4341-790-266-IVOB-266-4862, or you can reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. I see just one call on the line, a lot of free lines. So just before I get to that call, I hope you haven't been holding long. I just want to read this WhatsApp message. It says, on November 1st, 2019, I received an email from the Barbados Revenue Authority advising that my 2018 income tax refund had been successfully processed. To date, I had not received the money, checked with the customer service at least three times last year, and was told I would receive it by the end of the year because government was under an IRF mandate to pay all current refunds by the end of the year. On checking with the BRA customer service again this morning, I was told, quote, you aren't waiting long. There are others that got notice before you who haven't received any, so keep waiting and checking. I'm a pensioner who does not think that I should even be paying income tax on pension after paying income taxes for over 40 years while I worked. Can you get the PRO for BRA to give us an update on the payments? Unfortunately, that last part I am not able to do. I'm not one of those persons who enjoy the privilege of getting the BRA's PRO to respond promptly or just saying call and they do. But we will see if we can get an update for you. We'll try this method or any other. I want to highlight something you said, though, and that response that says, you know, there are others waiting to, and the manner in which you put it in quotes meant you were told that. You aren't waiting long. There are others that got noticed before you, so keep waiting and checking. We need to train our people in customer service. And I mean train all our people in customer service, not only government workers, private sector workers, to all the people involved in customer service. Don't hire them because they look good or because they got paper qualifications and figure that is it. Train them. I walked into Flo's offices at Government Hill. They were nicely redone and they got these seats with no backs for the customers to wait. There were three nice young ladies standing around the desk. As soon as I came in, they quickly asked me what I wanted. I said what I wanted, and they told me to wait on the customer service rep. So I sat there. I have a disability that does not allow me to sit without support for long periods, especially on a soft cushioned thing, whatever you call it. And I'm old. Apparently, I'm now old. So getting up is a bit of a challenge too. So when, after waiting for a while, I went to the young ladies and said, you know, it's a little uncomfortable for someone with my peculiar condition and my age to sit on these things with no back. The response was, oh, we have other seating for people like you. Now you see this people like me thing? I have a problem with people like me. The offense may not be given, but it's taken. I don't like being called people like you. There is something offensive about that statement to me. If you would say to me, oh, we can offer you another type of chair, or you may sit over there, or come this way, I cool. But we got chairs for people like, we got other seats for people like you, is to me not the right answer. Okay? So I took my business elsewhere where they had chairs for people like me. That's just my little thing on that thing. But I hope you get your refund. Brass Decks, thank you for holding for my little spiel. Good afternoon. Yes.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Yes, sir, and to you.
Now, what you just said rectify my plan, my thoughts, mm-hmm, before I spoke to you, that mm-hmm Barbadians, well, I'll have to say Barbadians, that works in those type of positions, needs to be really trained. Don't care if you're working at a gas station. Don't care if you're working at a store, a bank. They need training. They don't have that kind of a quality. They have good appearances, but when they speak to you, it's left to be desired. They don't know how to speak to people properly. And that is on the wage section of Barbados. Not only government, also commercial, all the different entities in Barbados. They don't have no training. Both young and the middle-aged ones also have the same problem. Now, you may not want to go on to it, because we understand when you speak with a kind of language that they'll take that you're a foreigner and you shouldn't be saying anything about them, right? But that is my thought. Now, I have another point to make about authority and law. Mm-hmm. Now, I noticed that in Barbados, again, all people seem to have an indisciplined kind of a attitude. You pass through Swan Street recently and see that the stalls now are in the road. I mean, the blocking the pavement, and now they are in the road. You're going to hear about small man making a dollar and all types of foolishness. But we need to be disciplined in this country called Barbados. We've got to be disciplined. We're too indisciplined. If it goes on the bridge going across the bus terminal, they occupy one side, the people walk on the other side. Now I see the encroaching now on the other side. So I mean that both sides now will soon be blocked because the poor man are cornered them making a dollar. We need some discipline about this place. Another person seems to, you know, go around and you know, make these people get themselves in line. They're out of line. My third point is that you know what is Barbados' second language, sir?
No, what's Barbados' second language?
You don't know? Cursing, using indecent languages. Every other word is an indecent language, so it's got to be second language.
I had a conversation with someone in here about this, right? And I said to them, I don't think people believe there's indecent anymore. I think that's how they just talk. Sometimes you hear a conversation and you wonder, wait, this person angry? And you go there and it's two people having a pleasant conversation. Nobody upset, nobody vexed. I didn't know it was a second language. I thought.
I make it the only second language because
so
they cannot.
Communication. Communicating has changed over the years.
Yeah, they cannot speak, especially men. They speak loud.
You think so?
As though they want to fight that time to get a small argument. And every other word is an indecent language. Every other word.
Maybe it's not indecent anymore, as I said.
Well, it seems to be the norm. Anyhow, thanks for listening to me.
Thanks for sharing as well, sir. Have a good day as well. Look, language changes from time to time, I suppose, and people will communicate in a manner that's comfortable. And I guess that's just the way friends talk to each other now. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hi, morning.
Hey.
Mr. Johnson.
Thanks,
ma'am. Language.
Mm-hmm.
I find in my life that a lot of people curse really bad, but it wouldn't even hit you. They just swear at you and they're gone. It doesn't sound nice, but the more you know, the better you do, I think. So if you don't know how to,
I think they know how to.
Yeah, some don't. Some is like, okay, let me give you these few words and I gone. I didn't call the top of that. Language.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talking about language and it's called to speak about language.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. You see?
That's strange. God. Things work in mysterious ways, I suppose.
Yeah,
is it? Yeah. Tell me about language.
Okay. Language. And I in my 60s now, I never recognized how important it is till probably around my 40s or so, when I did a course in English and did pretty well. Surprised myself. But language, you know, the Bible says God spoke the word into being. So going back to the Bible, God used language to create everything. He spoke, he said, let there be light. There was light. And you know how it goes. He mm-hmm. spoke everything into being. And there's another part of the Bible that says that God has set the moon and the stars and all those things in place to more or less let us know the times and the seasons. Okay? So language and math. I don't think that we I don't know if we are thought really the importance of these two deep enough not to say my child is brilliant because it might get 100 in math or 100 in English, but that those two combined actually controls the universe. And So we can use language for positive, for negative. The same with math, right? The scientists use math in various ways, medicine and worst of all, the atomic energy and things like that. But all I'm saying is that those when the guy was talking to you about radio, and he mentioned those persons who were pioneers in the field and so on, I was hoping he would say, but God gifted these persons with those gifts to do for their time. You know, everybody have a time and season, so for the times that they were in. And I just want us to recognize that that's where it comes from. It comes from the Most High God. Whether you choose to call him Allah, Jah, the Most High God, all these things come from them. Just learn to love and appreciate what we have. And use the language to better us, ourselves, and the math as well.
But you see, the question is, When you measure what you call better yourselves, right? Most of the better use we've found for things were not always created with those better things in mind. For example, the methods of communication we use today, a lot of them were designed for war, that people were able to communicate more privately and more urgently in war times. They've just been adapted for use in times of peace. The man who invented gunpowder, I'm sure he didn't invent it to move mountains so that we could have development. Sure, he didn't invent it so we could, you know, demolish our buildings, but we found other reasons for it. So, the point I was making to you is, While some people may believe that they're creating something for one purpose, it could be utilized by someone who has a different vision for what they've created. So you would believe that you've created this for a positive purpose and somebody uses it destructively. Yes. As for example, I always use the example of a letter opener. A letter opener was designed to open letters. The fact that I may use it to stab somebody or somebody else may use it to screw something into place because they adapted that I use, that's not the reason it was created. So sometimes you create something for what you think is a positive purpose. It's used for something that you don't agree with. Or you think you have created something for an evil purpose and somebody turns it into something positive. So it's not usually what you have in mind.
Beg to differ. I think it is created for good. As when God created the earth, he said everything was good. I think it was created for good, and man has turned a lot of things into evil to turn it around. But still, for us to survive, we have to keep on it for good. We have to. Otherwise, as you see, how wars can be started and things can get completely out of hand and so on. I think those who appreciate what God has done. I will always speak of God because I know without him I can't take another breath. And I think for those who appreciate it, we have to stay on it. It's not ignoring, not accepting of things that will pull us down because love builds, but hate destroys. I thank you.
All right, ma'am. When you spoke of language, what I thought about was the fact that in a lot of cases, we don't understand how destructive words could be. As I pointed out in the WhatsApp message that I received, more than likely, the person who made the response may have been overburdened by a number of calls on the issue, may have been tired of answering the same question over and over, may have figured, you know, you just call too often and that will hold you for a while. They may not think that what they're saying would offend you or would come across the wrong way. They don't understand your circumstances. And that's why I talked about training. Because in a lot of cases, people believe that their approach is fine because it works for them. It works for the people they come into contact with regularly. So they don't think there's anything wrong with their approach. So if you say to them, you have to change the way you address the customers, or you have to stand in a certain way, or you should not try to do this, they may very well ask you why. 434-1790. You can also reach us at 266-IVOB. Mr. Karmabach, who said he wanted to call me. All the lines are open, Erskine, so you could very much call now. And I will hear what it is on your mind, because I know it must be traffic related, or perhaps you're instructing and can't reach us. And there was another WhatsApp message that I wanted to share with you. I got a little rap on my knuckles from the gentleman who called early and said I should apologize to him. He waited for about an hour and paid the call, and then I shut down his call by telling him I won't talk about it today. So I owe him the money on his phone and an excuse, an apology. I did apologize, he said. Apparently he didn't accept it. I am sorry you had to wait so long to make the comment you made. And perhaps the manner in which I responded was a little abrupt. Brass Dex, good afternoon.
Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Good afternoon. I am good. Yeah, there you are. You wanted to reach us, sir. What's on your mind today, my good man?
What I wanted to call about, you know, I always deal with the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something yesterday that, although I see things daily that bother me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things during the weekend was those too many buses that would have been circulating. That is and was ridiculous. Unfortunately, the old, you know. the other one was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday bothered me somewhat. I exit the roundabout by bus going south. They should be taking me up the hill by Waterworks.
Mm-hmm.
On my right was a Renault, gray in color. Behind him was a taxi that came from down on the west side by Alarcourt, which made the right turn then to go towards the said area we were traveling towards the Waterworks, BBC.
Mm-hmm.
I heard this blowing a horn. I got, you know, I got all these revenue mirrors and these cameras set around the vehicle. I heard the blowing horn and recognized it was a taxi trying to get past one of us. At that time, my scooter had reached a speed of about 50 kilometers, 45 going to 50 going up the incline.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that the car next to me is not going any faster. So I tried to pull to the left so that he can get ahead, because I don't know what a big hurry he's in. All I heard was, like the guy said, the agent's second language when the taxi got alongside me. And he threw this bottle into the man's car on my right, which was the man's left rear window.
He threw a bottle?
A bottle. I tell you, when it hollered, because I honestly couldn't believe it. You know, as he got past the top of the incline going towards CVC,
mm-hmm.
he was so close to the guy. All I saw him do is put his right hand out and slap the mirror, the left side mirror of the runner. And the guy break up hard and the taxi gone on down the road. Now, that is road rage. I do not know what happened before that. That's what I said about seeing things after a certain point, and I don't know what happened before, but even whatever it is that happened before that point, that was ridiculous.
Limit going up that hill is not 60?
60 kilometers, yeah.
Okay, all right. Just checking.
You understand? So I think, when I started to accelerate a little bit more, my student, the guy started to accelerate alongside of me. So he said, there's something.
They're trying to keep them back.
So I decided, similar to me, shift rear close. So I pulled the stand myself close to the sidewalk, so that I knew he can try to get through between the two of us. And that's what he did. Because, here's so regular, Dennis. I see so many things. I didn't only get eyes on many buses, you know.
But, this is what's worrying me, right, Oskar? Because I've said this, unfortunately, that I have noticed the same hustle that we now describe as the ZR culture. I see it in ZMs and Zs.
Yeah.
The taxis in Barbados have become so numerous. The guys are under so much pressure, the same kind of pressure that the ZR vans are under, and with less, with less opportunities, because a ZR could still pick up, you know, 10, 15 people.
Yeah.
Some taxis can't.
Yeah.
Right? The pressure is greater on them. Let me, you know, for example, you see the traffic lights by the Treasury building?
Yeah.
Very regularly.
Yeah.
I see taxis on the extreme right going straight across the extreme left and vice versa.
Yeah. And not only that, they come down St. Michael's, you're on the left lane, and cut straight
and
across.
Cut straight across. So they're hustling. They're hustling. And as I said, I could appreciate why they may be hustling, because they got a lot of them on the road, plenty more on the road, and the jobs are few and far between.
But some of them are even doing
$3 drops too, I am told.
Yeah. One of the other things too is that the buses. I don't like to complain for them, but it's like, you see, because your junction, Dennis, I can say about 4 or 5 pictures in 1 week. These guys come up in the right lane going towards Bridgetown and come down the right lane going towards St. James, towards the whole town here going towards the bank of, and they hold the right lane. The light changes for them to turn right and they don't move. When the light changes for the truck to say stop for them to stop,
they move.
But because the left side light is going to
turn on.
The or the others that are that other minibus in the left lane of the street and then the flying going straight up.
Yep.
No, it's ridiculous. There's some down there flying straight to the gas station, like madmen, like to the gas station, with Chanel and down the road again. What? You know what I saw Sunday morning, above all morning, a guy come down Darkeith Hill, near the left turn. I thought he was going across by the gas station. No, my friend.
He go around the little, and continue down the road. And these things, I know because the buses are easy, we say it happens with the buses. Okay?
But you know they were not taught that.
But, hold on. Kalama Rock, another area I traverse regularly, right?
And he fixed them badly.
They go up to the top on the right side and block it and then switch across to the left when the traffic lights change to beat the flow.
Yeah.
They go across George Street, go up First Avenue, go through Sagicoil, and come back out onto the road. That entire corner, right? That First Avenue, Belleville? We need to have a serious look at it. And by we, I mean the authorities. I don't like to use the term, but the authorities. Because of the number of cars parked inside the car park at Sagicoil, that I use from time to time.
Yeah.
And when people waiting on their children from that school there, that entire block is locked off. First Avenue is a mess.
Same thing happens in Point Hill.
Correct.
St. Winifred and St. Gabriel's School, whatever.
Which makes a mess of our traffic system.
But Dennis, before you run, let me tell you what causes that backup by St. Winifred and that convent. Now, you and I, Dennis, have a child going to a school. What we do, we go into the yard, jump in the vehicle, they put the bag in the back and jump in the vehicle. No, most of these people want to get up, help the child, put the bag in the back, then walk down to the door, open the door, put them in, and then come back onto the driver's seat. No, that holds a lot of traffic in there. Anytime I have students to pick up from in there, I ask them to meet me outside on the street. Because that is what I see happening there daily. The husband or wife, whatever, mother, father, get out and want to hug the child to give everybody a pressure, how much I love my daughter and my son. Then open the door.
They do.
And then
come
walk
on, man.
To the left side. Dennis, I see it daily.
But look, let me, not, all right. Let me spin the ball with the left hand here at you for a second. If we see that happening, right, on Kalama Rock, we see it happening on Government Hill.
On Pine Hill.
Tell me what will happen, right, when Hart is finished on Bay Street. Have you seen what's already happening with the Virgin Atlantic by the traffic lights, by Jamet's Lane? When we add Hyatt to that, how long before Bay Street becomes one way into town and another way out? Because we have to look at the traffic flow when all these tour buses line up one behind the other from the boatyard all the way up right now to Copacabana on a daily basis. And then up further to that harbor lights further up the road on a daily basis. And that's because we're having a nice season, apparently. When we put another hotel or a hotel along that area, what are we doing about the traffic? I know the horse bolt, right? I know it running nicely down the road. But we talking about everything else, and I ain't hear mention yet about the traffic. I hear about impact study and turtles and light. Traffic. We'll eventually get to it. Vision is a strange thing. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Monday edition. 434-1790. You can also reach us at 266-IVOB, the WhatsApp, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. There were two WhatsApps that seemed to be of like mind. One says, Dennis, in my opinion, demolish both buildings, the NIS and Treasury, rebuild the towers similar to the ones in Warrens with parks around, install a tram running through Bridgetown with designated stops, raise the parking fees after creating a park and ride along the tram route. The other one says, answer to traffic situation, pedestrianize Bridgetown. Build a multi-story car park on Jemmett's Lane, where the old Ministry of Education, the old hospital was, a tram station and park and ride into Bridgetown. So there's that tram and ride. And my response to both was, yeah, Bridgetown Mall sounds like a good idea. You park, you ride, you walk, sit on the benches and enjoy the lunch that John and I were talking about in private here. Not with the same lady though, John, I know, you know. But the whole thing about family time and spending time together is something that I'm very big on. And shopping for me when I was a little boy, and it was, you know, sometimes a pain because I used to get dragged along by the old lady while she went to just about everybody. But the important part of that practice that I learned over the years was that everybody then knew who I was. So if something happened, they would look out for me. And because I was a nice little fella, you know, the nice old ladies used to give me things when they see me on my own, you know. Oh, you Miss Johnson boy, come here, so get a sugar cake, get a sweetie, you know, get a little something. So it has its plus. Then they used to introduce you to the granddaughter as you got older. So you know, there was a reason that you got dragged around with the old lady. But that's on the lighter side. On the serious side of it, you spend time together. And to me, that's an important part of growing up and learning to belong to somebody. Belonging to somebody is big in my books. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Thank you for holding.
Good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Brother Nasser, how are you?
How are you, sir?
I am good, my brother. I am good.
Are the family all good, too?
They're okay. They're okay. Yep.
All right. Let me say first before I give you some congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about these trams. I was in California, spent 10 wonderful days up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the trams moving around the town, right? And
city
I mean, working real nice, nice looking, not big, clumsy things, really nice like looking buses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they just move around all over the area. I know there's more one town in California,
mm-hmm.
And I was very impressed. And very nicely painted, too. Attractive and so. And I was very impressed with what I saw up there with the trams in the city, in that particular city.
Mm-hmm.
Now, first, I want to say, Mr. Johnson, that today I hear some people, including that gentleman that was crying and things, praising you. Mr. Johnson, I am Muhammad Nasser, man. I am no fool. I know great people when I see them. I can identify with great people, man. Don't take it lightly. You're one of the better minds in this country. You're one of the better thinkers in this country. And don't let nobody tell you so. You take it light. It is true. The way you talk to people, the way you shut off people too, or stop talking to people too. But
you had to remind me of that, man. You had to remind me of that, man.
It's so good to hear those people talking about your contribution to their life and their survival. Not that you're feeding them, getting them food or that and so on, But you give them confidence, you give them assurance that they can do it. And that is what is key to this country right now. Some person with the ability to speak commitment and encouragement to the people, and the people then start to understand that it is possible and they're prepared to do it. Now, I want to say something else too. You know, there's a thing about Barbados people talking about this high watermark.
Mm-hmm.
You know that that's against the law. You know that I went to the lawyer office on Friday, and I was telling him about this high watermark foolishness. He said that has been changed since the coastal zone management, that no high watermark don't exist. And he ain't a monkey lawyer. And I asked him, but why this is not told to the people? You know, he gave me a good answer. He said, because...
You know, that's unfortunate, huh? Because I'll tell you why it's unfortunate, sir.
Yeah.
People travel for an experience.
Of course.
Good. Part of that experience, as you just mentioned, was looking at how the trams work in California.
Yeah.
Part of that experience is looking at how the people live, what they do, how they interact with each other, how they relate to each other, how they share. I often see taxis driving along Highway 1.
Yeah.
And they stop outside of one Sandy Lane place where Rihanna has an apartment or own half of the building or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, all you see is a closed-up building with a gate. But the taxis stop there, and they stop for a while, and they obviously tell the people what the building is and who lives there. But they drive past fish markets. They drive past Bajan chattel houses. They drive past people selling by the side of the road.
Yeah.
And if I came to a country, I don't want to see a closed-up building with a gate. I would like to see the fish market. I would like to see... But that's just me. That's my taste, okay?
Yeah.
Because I like to see and interact with people. So, to me, what you show a person about your country or you determines what they think about you or your country.
That's right.
So, if we don't train our people... I always say Bermuda is a police state, and you have to sit an exam before you could drive tourists around on an island tour.
Yeah.
If you don't show people some of the aspects of your country that you're proud of, these are our schools. This is where our prime minister was educated. This is where he was born. This is how we make a living off of this. This is where we do that. To me, that is also part and part of the Bajan experience.
That is right.
So. I ain't got a problem with one Sandy Lane place. I ain't got a problem with saying Rihanna lives there or has an apartment there. But don't drive past the fish markets. When I see a taxi driver stop and shout somebody in the fish market or somebody with a vegetable stall, you ask your visitors, you ever tasted a passion fruit? Have you ever tried a mango? Do you know what a gooseberry is? Well, let me stop here by... John, and let you taste one. He may like it, he may not like it. You know, it may be strange that the only thing you remember on his Bajan visit when talking to his friends overseas is, I had something called a gooseberry. You ever had a gooseberry? It's like a blueberry, but not really like a raspberry. It may be a different experience that he remembers. But if we blank our minds to that, we don't think it makes sense to show them. We lose part of the Bajan experience. Now I hear some fellow from overseas telling us we must have a rum museum. And we say, yes, we should. Really? Somebody got to come from somewhere to tell us we should have a museum about something we've been making for 300 years or something.
Mr. Johnson, I want to say something. I hear a guy today talking about these so-called vendors and things in Swan Street. I was very disappointed with him, whoever he is. I used to go to Venezuela real regular. I mean, like, almost every month I used to be in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Johnson, you see the street like Broad Street?
Yeah.
Down the center of the street, all the hawkers, no traffic, eh?
Mm-hmm.
All the hawkers line up right down the center of the road, okay, with the little umbrellas or the little whatever they got there. And they're selling right down the main streets in Venezuela. With the same rights as the people who have the stores, it don't stop the boy from going to the sidewalk and going to these stores. Why should we want to always crush our people, every other people trying to make us survive? And then again, a black man like yourself come talking things about war, about so-called. And then so-called about vending. Vending is a serious business that educate a lot of lawyers and doctors and engineers and people like me in Barbados. And yourself, I suppose, you might not, your mother might not vend, but your grandmother might have vended. How can we keep, every time we open our mouth, we want to talk the people who look like us. And I don't understand it. It got to stop.
Which brings me to something that came up earlier today that I flagged to ask you about.
Yeah.
Gentleman made a comment about the fact that we have what we call industrial estates, some of them closed up. The one in Six Roads in St. Philip, I know, for example, got all sorts of buildings and they're closed up.
Right.
And yet we have people repairing cars by the side of the road, fixing refrigerators by the side of the road, people complaining that it's a nuisance. Why they not in our industrial parks, sir?
Well,
why can't we provide some place for some young setting up business? We can't charge him the same price we would charge a man that been in business for 50 years and established.
But they should get it for free. Can you do that with them?
Well, and it's falling apart. So if get the young fellows at, you know, the Polytechnic to show him how to repair it and help him repair it and be part of the whole experience, put some of their skills to work, design a space for him to work in, and you know, start something.
Mr. Johnson, the skin of a dolphin is a party dolphin, right?
As far as I know.
Right. But the skin,
and people just use the bone, and people just use the bone to make jewelry and thing too, right. So yeah.
But they will take the skin and peel it off and throw it in the garbage, right?
Correct.
And then they will cut up the flesh of the dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what this country do to our young, intelligent, talented people. We don't care about them. As far as we're concerned, once the so-called upper middle class, because they already got the middle class in Barbados no more, and the very rich getting what they want, it seems like we don't care about those below that level. And I want to say something to this country. Once they had, and I'm going to get it back, you know, once they had a massive company employing about 140 people, let me tell you, in that little company, who used to be in there, Mr. Johnson, financial analysts, secretaries, welders, sewing machine operators, sewing machine mechanics, truck drivers, painters. In other words, one factory in Grisette. Or they all that were there too, because all they were doing the same thing, you know. But here in this little place employing 140 people, all people are highly technical, skilled people. So they could let me know go and work. In other words, the father is so a machine mechanic, he don't go all waste time with me. He go home and start fixing people machines on his own. So I go to train an S a machine mechanic, or I send it to him, right? Now, I wouldn't train it because I don't have the knowledge in it, but I got to get it trained.
Mm-hmm.
The painter, right? He could go on and say, listen, hey, now I gotta do my painting. I gotta paint independently. What is the mistake that's being made in this country, Mr. Johnson, is that we do not understand when we destroy industry, the amount of talent and skill that we destroy. And until we learn that, I believe that putting people in a hotel to be waiters and so, no, they got financial controls in hotel too.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, but the vast majority is waiters and servers. And it's time enough that the government of Barbados start to look at seriously getting our young people back into training with skills.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is not just a workshop. It is not just a workshop. It's a workshop with highly talented people that can work anywhere in the world.
But you see, Brother Nasser, here's it. Look, there are people who have, I said it earlier this morning, I'll say it again. There are people who have ideas, but they have neither the financial or any other type of power to put the ideas into operation.
Correct.
So they sit on the ideas and go, you know what? Nobody ain't gonna take me on. So they don't do anything. Look, you have a situation where we have young people, talented young people, and they're frustrated. They take out their frustration in various ways.
That's right.
You see the young fellows who ride around Bridgetown on the back of their bikes and stand up on it and stand up on their hand and their head?
Yeah.
There's a place you could do that for stunt riding. If Bushy Park had it on the weekend and people pay to go in and they had an admission fee and they get a little cut, they would go and have a good time. And hopefully, when they get on the road, they behave themselves because they know they have a place to let out the steam.
I'm not part of the men that are doing the road.
That's my point. Because they know they could make money if they do it in Bushy Park.
Right.
Or whatever park we create, wherever we create it. Okay?
Right.
But right now, they ain't got nothing to do, so they're showing off. Right?
And not only that, I have to get some place like that and doing the road and get embarrassed because they're going to feel shame that people see them who are there supposed to be stars making a fool of themselves in the road. So these things got to be looked at, Mr. Jones. So, I don't care what anybody
But Brother Nasser, my question keeps coming back to me.
Yeah.
Why aren't we doing it? You go to the United States.
About the dolphin flesh and the skin.
I know. We go to
the
United States
about the people.
And we pay to see people throwing fish at one another and catching it.
Right.
I keep saying, if we turn off fishing, I know we don't like the scent of fish for whatever reason. We don't like the scent of fish. Fine. There are people who don't like the scent of pork either, but they just eat, you know, pork all the time. Anyway.
Yeah.
They don't like the scent of pig, sorry, but they eat pork. Anyway. So if we had a restaurant sitting on top of the fish market with a glass, so you could see people boning the fish and skinning the fish and grilling the fish and doing it in 5 million ways, serving you fish wine while you sit upstairs from the cruise ship that you just come off of, that you didn't see all that, and you're feeling the breeze and you're listening to some music, you may enjoy the experience.
But because we
don't like the scent of fish, because we think that fish people are down on the ground, we don't think of taking anybody into a fish market because it smells bad. And when we read the newspapers, we read that they don't have water, that the ice short. And that is the image we have of it. So why don't we fix it? It's not that we can't.
Mr. Johnson, you know there's a pork crisis in Barbados. You know that tons of pork come in Barbados and the agriculture trust was produced pigs. Got to sell the pigs at a loss and think now to get to survive. Do you know that, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
And they complain about it too.
In Barbados, we importing tons of pork, and when we have one group importing, you know, and fellas got to sell the pigs at a loss
to try to combat it.
We call the light pigs. God, really, I don't understand what's going on in Barbados. Somebody got to be able to sit down and say, no. There's certain things that we are not going to allow in this country.
What's
you cannot drive these people to the ground.
WhatsApp message says,
on your program, somebody said that we already lost Barbados. I said that we can lose it. Somebody said we already lost it.
The truth
is that we are losing this country, Mr. Johnson. And black people better wake up. I don't mind what nobody says. I am here to speak the truth. We are losing our country. And a lot of things that used to help our people to survive are being taken away from us. And we are sitting down there looking how we could kill one another. It is foolishness. Our problem is not to hurt each other. Our problem is to challenge whichever government we have and demand better for us. God, believe me, I believe that my money means well, but you cannot tell somebody they mean well if you don't challenge them. Then you will know if they mean well. And these things got to be changed. You cannot continue. Wherever I swing, this man there, I know he black, attacking people in Swan Street. They're the block Swan Street. Want to leave, put a thing down the center of Swan Street so that they could be free to sell in Swan Street. And it was hurt me that the same people that own stores in Swan Street will put their things outside. And nobody don't say anything about that. Mr. Jones, it can't work.
But you see, and the thing is, somebody accepts that and said, that's my opportunity to make a living, so I will do it for them. And they look like they're independent, but they're working for somebody. There's a message here on WhatsApp that says, speaking about industrial parks, I'm here in Bermuda, sitting listening to Brass Stacks in an industrial park with warehouses divided into all kinds of small garages and small businesses.
Right.
We know to kill people's dreams and waste a lot of resources in Barbados. I'm going to move to another one because it's again up your alley, and this is the question of furniture. I know somebody in Barbados who makes furniture and makes good furniture too, who sent me a picture of several items made, and he said the people who were buying the furniture from Britain were told that nobody in Barbados makes good furniture.
That's
true.
So they went to various places looking at furniture before eventually coming to his place and getting the furniture there. Now,
thank
sir,
God.
If we have people in Barbados, employed in Barbados, in whatever area, telling people who come to Barbados seeking to buy furniture for their mansions and their homes, big or small, that we don't make good furniture in Barbados. So they go and buy some imported nonsense. You know what that person will say when it falls apart? Those things I bought in Barbados ain't no good. They ain't say those things imported into Barbados no good.
They ain't gonna say that.
They will say those things I bought in
That's
Barbados
right.
for my house.
That's right.
No good.
That's a fact.
So when that's why I talk about how we kill ourselves without understanding what we're doing.
It is a plan, though, Mr. Johnson. Don't think they don't understand.
It's
the
a plan.
People, the average people don't understand, but the elites and the rich understand, and the importers and so on understand. All of them fool you, they don't understand, because I can tell you, no, Mr. Johnson, you may or may not know this. One time a car mix. And the people were very impressed. And they sent back a guide and asked BIDC if they would be prepared to make some samples for them that they would be interested in the furniture. They sent down a whole set of samples. I think it was 10 or 12 or 14. And the guys decided to make the furniture. They made the furniture, ship off the first container. Cause I can't go through the whole thing, because it would take too much time with you. Mm-hmm. Ship off the container, and when it got into New Orleans, the furniture all mashed up. The people said that the reason why the furniture mashed up is because there's too much moisture in the wood. Hence, if you go down Spring Garden Highway and see a fella doing boats and things,
mm-hmm.
then a kiln, Guyana, set up a kiln in there.
To dry the wood?
For us, right? To dry, to take the moisture of the wood. Mm-hmm. We then turn around, Bill, it's wooden furniture. So though he's saying we, mm-hmm. I talk about the manufacturers.
Yeah, correct.
Turn around, Bill, 5 containers of furniture and shipped to Pulaski. Furniture, superb. You know, he paid, give us a standing order for $40 million U.S. a year.
We couldn't do it?
We can do it. The government changed and they say we'll make the Barbados, they probably look too good. You think I know what you say, Mr. Jones? I tell you, don't play me. I got so much fat that I can really write a book that can be a bestseller. And that is a fact, Mr. Johnson. Another time, too, with buses. Simpson Motors brought people down here and went to Acme to get buses built. Simpson was going to be marking the buses. Acme would build the buses on Mercedes chassis.
Correct.
And it would be marketed by Simpson. Do you realize that
we can't keep doing that.
For black people to move forward and big time, they're blocking it all the time. I believe that nobody is to say it's a talk about it, Mr. Johnson. I don't understand it, Mr. Johnson. You are a reporter. You are a journalist. If you see me abusing or talking on kind things about journalists, you should be able to say, man, that's what I expect by you. That's wrong, Mr. Johnson.
No, sir, that's not wrong. But we don't like to tell our friends they're wrong because they won't like us anymore.
I could tell you about rims. Car rims going to be made in this country,
yeah.
Get destroyed again. Every time black people moving forward with major projects, they get destroyed. And it's no accident. It's purposely done, black people. Don't let nobody fool you. The only reason why black companies in Barbados is failed is because of sabotage. Nah, Mr. Johnson, look, I ain't going to hog your show no more because I don't think you're talking anymore. But Mr. Johnson, thank you for the time, and may God bless you. And listen, keep doing what you're doing. The Barbadian people need your advice and your help.
Sir, I will try for as long as I have the strength to do so.
God can give you the strength.
And this station allows me.
I can find something to take all your problems from you, and you can be able to be a Rambo with me too.
I look forward to that, my friend. I look forward to it. thank you. Thank you for the support. On a serious note, though, we are talking about the redevelopment of Bridgetown. We're talking about the expansion of our hotel plant. And when you hear things like this, when you hear town hall meetings and people say, 2,500 people will be employed in the construction phase and 1,500 people in the completion. It should excite our artists or artisans, the people who make leather work, to say, okay, here's an opportunity for us to have bedroom slippers with a stamp that says Hyatt Ziva or whatever it's called. So that the first 500, first 1,000 visitors to Barbados get a made in Barbados leather sandal with a Ziva stamp on it as a, you know, a thank you for being one of our first guests. It means a lot to people to get a little thank you. They're going to stop teething the shower curtain and the towel and the bedroom and, you know, the house coat and the umbrella. These, as people who work in the hotel industry, or things like that, as get teeth. A beach towel that says, you know, sandals. They're selling in the gift shop, you know, but they're a teeth one. Because it's in the bedroom, just to say, I got this when I went on my vacation. But we don't think that way. We see the obstructions. We see the what's being removed. The opportunities pass us by and somebody else gets it. It's the wrong way to develop a country, in my humble opinion. But sometimes my opinion ain't humble, I think.